Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of the palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no man knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great and terrible deeds which Moses wrought in the sight of all Israel. It's good to have you with us this morning. It's good to see some familiar faces. See the Burdicks back there. Have Von Dane and Hope and Don. It's good to have visitors. I know that today is a wonderful day because we can worship God, as the prayers have been stated, in freedom, in liberty. Who would you say the most powerful leader of our present time is? If you had that as an essay question, what would be your response? Who is the most powerful leader in our present time? We might come up with the President of the United States, regardless of who's sitting there in the White House. Who would you say in the Old Testament was the most powerful leader of people that lived? Undoubtedly, what you would come up with as you identified someone in the Old Testament, he would fall under one or three categories. He'd either be a prophet, a priest, or a king. I don't know if that fits with who you said. If it doesn't, you can tell me later. Otherwise, you'll ruin my lesson. Prophet, priest, or king? We have just read about one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. If you were to have to go through and say, okay, of the prophets, who was the man who was the greatest leader? I don't know that you could come up with a different one besides Moses. Moses, through the hand of God, of course, conquered Egypt. Delivered Israel. Moses at Mount Sinai received the law from God. Moses led the children of Israel not only out from captivity, but to the promised land, to the land of Canaan. If you did a study on Moses, how many weeks would it take? How much time could you spend? Moses received the law in Exodus and then the book of Deuteronomy, which simply means to say it again. Moses repeats much of what the children of Israel are to do. And what he's doing is reminding them before his own death. If you want to go back and read Moses' last words to the people, you can start in chapter 32, which is called the Song of Moses, chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. And what Moses is saying is, here's your history. Here's who you are. Here is how God has blessed you through the ages, and this is how you have disappointed Him time and time again. And Moses' words basically were, follow God, keep His commandments. What do we have the scripture here saying about Moses? There was never a prophet like him. For all the signs and wonders that Moses did, there was never another prophet quite like Moses. But perhaps the man that you thought of was a priest. Who was the greatest priest that ever lived? Who had the most influence? That might be a little tougher. The one we're going to look at just briefly is Aaron. Let's go to Exodus chapter 28. As God instituted the law, He established for Himself the tribe of Levi to follow Him, to be His own, to be His chosen. And He said to them here in Exodus chapter 28, then bring near to you Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the people of Israel to serve me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. Who was Aaron? Moses' brother. And even Miriam, Moses' sister, had some influence among the people. I wonder what kind of parents Amram and Jochebed were to raise such three highly skilled, talented children. Now, Moses was, of course, the one who said, I can't speak. And that's why Aaron was brought to be alongside him, because Aaron was a spokesman. But as Moses grew into his position of leadership, God said to Moses, I want you to establish Aaron to be my priest. Aaron was the first high priest. What did that mean? That meant that Aaron was the man who got to go in and be with God, there in the holiest of holies, to petition God on behalf of the people at the mercy seat. What a position that must have been. It didn't come without responsibilities. Remember what happened to Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, because they failed to honor God's commandments? What a tough day that must have been for Aaron, the high priest. But Aaron was a co-leader, if you will, with Moses at the first, a spokesman for him, the first high priest, and God said his descendants would continue the priesthood. Not simply Levites, but Levites who were descendants from Aaron, followed up on that wonderful, I guess it would be a wonderful obligation or responsibility to appease God on behalf of the people. Who would you say the greatest king was? We've got a prophet, we've got a priest. Who's the greatest king? I'd have to come up with David in spite of his faults. A man who was at first just a shepherd boy, but one who loved God and loved God dearly. Probably the first king loved by the people. Saul certainly wasn't. And we find revealed for us in the scriptures, go with me to Acts chapter 13, that he was more than just a king. He was a man after God's own heart. Acts chapter 13. This is during Paul and Barnabas' first missionary tour. They are proclaiming the gospel. Men of Israel, this is verse 17, and you that fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with uplifted arm he led them out of it. And for about 40 years he bore with them in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance for about 450 years. And after that he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, that doesn't sound good, does it? And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. What was unique about David? Well, certainly that he was a king, that God had blessed him with that position. But the grandest thing was that he was a worshiper of God from the very bottom of his soul. A man after God's own heart. Perfect? Certainly not. But some of the things that David accomplished were great conquerings for Israel from the Philistines and other enemies. The architect for the temple. And probably what we know him for most, the writer of most of the Psalms. O Lord, you are my God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Lord is my shepherd. Unto thee, O God, do I lift up my soul. What do we see in David's words? A devotion like no other. Is it any wonder then that he was one of the greatest kings that ever reigned? And his son was magnificent as long as he honored God, but he failed to do so throughout his life. Prophet, priest, king, Moses, Aaron, David. Some of the greatest leaders of God's people that ever walked the earth. And you know what's amazing? Is that those descriptive terms of leaders, prophet, priest, and king, are carried on into the New Testament and symbolize and foreshadow the one who would be all three. Can you imagine someone who could be all three? Prophet, priest, and king? Well, it's not hard, is it? We know that that is fulfilled in who? In Jesus. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18. And Moses had told his people, you know, as the book of Deuteronomy concludes, it says that none had ever arisen since Moses. No prophet like unto him. And of course we know that to have been written shortly after Moses' death as a P.S., if you will, because Moses was actually, from what we can tell, the author of Deuteronomy. But look what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brethren. Him you shall heed. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not again hear the voice of the Lord my God or see his great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they have rightly said all that they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not give heed to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. What was Moses prophesying? That there would come a day when what would happen? Moses was the greatest prophet. Moses was one who saw God face to face. Moses was the one who delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, who set them on their course of destiny to be a people for God, who gave them the law. But Moses said what? There will come a day when from among you, a Jew, God will raise up one like unto me. And that seems a little contradictory, doesn't it? Whenever the last chapter of Deuteronomy says there's never been a prophet like Moses since. But the prophecy was there from Moses' own mouth. Who was that? Who was that one that would be like Moses, raised from among the Jews with such power that if they failed to listen to him, they would be condemned? Turn with me to the New Testament. Acts chapter 3. Once again, it's always nice when the Bible interprets the Bible. When prophecies are clearly fulfilled in Scripture and designated. This is a sermon of Peter's, beginning with verse 17, special emphasis upon verse 22 when we get there. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, speaking of the death of Christ. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, that Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for establishing all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet from your brethren as he raised me up. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul that does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came afterwards, also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God gave to your father, saying to Abraham, and in your posterity shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you in turning every one of you from your wickedness. Who is the prophet that Moses said would come? In the New Testament, it's Jesus. The one whom God raised up from where? From the tomb. Peter says, this is that which God prophesied 1,500 years ago, and you're getting to see it. Was Moses a prophet to be listened to? Was he one to be reckoned with? Did his words prove true? You better believe it. And to whom does God expect you and me to listen to? Now, you may not have ever thought of Jesus as a prophet, but he was a prophet like unto Moses. In fact, the Hebrew writer says, if you want to compare Moses with Jesus, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. If you had a household, he says, within this household you had a family, and you had inheritors of the wealth, the sons, and then you had men servants and maid servants within the house. He says, guess who the son is and who the servant is? Read with me in Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, who share in a heavenly call, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in God's house. He says there's similarities between Jesus and Moses. Both of them were faithful to that which God commanded them. Yet Jesus has been counted worthy of as much more glory than Moses, as the builder of a house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if we hold fast our confidence and pride in our hope. Just a prophet? Just another like Moses? The Hebrew writer says no. When Moses said, and he will raise up for you a prophet like unto me, he was meaning one that you must listen to. The Hebrew writer clearly reveals, and that prophet is superior to Moses. Now, at first glance, that might be a little confusing. Why would the Hebrew writer insist that Jesus is superior when Moses was such a good man? Because of the law. The Hebrew writer is emphasizing that which Moses gave has now come to fulfillment and is past. That which Jesus gives is superior, the new covenant, the new law, and must be followed. You think Moses fully understood his prophecy when he gave it? No. But it was there for the people to ponder, for the people to wonder about. Great leaders of the Old Testament, the leader of the New Testament, a prophet like unto Moses, superior to Moses, Jesus Christ, our Lord. But you got another hint there. We kind of skipped ahead as we proved this point. Did you see it in verse 1 of chapter 3? In talking about Jesus, what did it say Jesus was there? High priest. Prophet, priest, Aaron, the high priest of the Old Testament, was but a man. We found within his own children sin, which cost them their lives. Aaron himself at times made mistakes when he and Miriam joined together against Moses. And God had to correct them. But what we find the Hebrew writer saying about Jesus in the New Testament, about his priesthood, turn with me to chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews. Yes, he is a high priest, but what kind of high priest? And we're going to see a similar argument. He is superior. Beginning with verse 23, Hebrews chapter 7. The former priests were many in number. We saw that with Aaron, and then it passes down from generation to generation. Why did it have to be passed down? Because, the Hebrew writer says, they were prevented by death from continuing in office. that does tend to discourage longevity in office. When someone dies, it's all over. So we see what the Hebrew writer is saying. Under the Old Testament, you would have a high priest, but he was human. He was mortal. He would become frail and he would die. What would happen then? Then someone else would have to step into the office. So how many high priests do you have in the Old Testament? I can't count them all. Some of them weren't always so good either. But nonetheless, but of Christ, he says, verse 24, he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. In what way is Christ superior to Aaron and to the other priests of the Old Testament, high priests? He's immortal. That gives you a clue as to his origin, doesn't it? Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, unstained, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did this once for all when he offered up himself. Indeed, the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath which came later than the law appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. What's the Hebrew writer wanting us to see? What do we have in Jesus? The greatest leader, I contend, that ever lived. We have prophet, we have high priest, superior to those who were the greatest of the Old Testament by his right as a son. Perfect, pure, blameless. We got a hint as well here that he was also the sacrifice itself. Before Aaron could go into the holiest of holies, he had to offer a sacrifice for his sins. If he didn't, what would have happened to him? You know, the high priests had long robes on with little bells on their tassels. And they also had attached to them a cord as they walked into the holiest of holies. And I'm told the reason for that was that if he hadn't done everything just right when he came into the presence of God, he would be struck dead. If he had not atoned for his own sins before he tried to atone for the sins of the people, he would have died in the holiest of holies. What are the bells all about? Well, as long as they were tinkling, he was alive. What was the cord for? As soon as the bells were silenced, they could drag him out. Talk about being reminded of one's mortality in sin. I would have approached the holiest of holies with not a whole lot of confidence. I might have said, I'm getting my last will and testament written up, and dear, I love you very much, and let me kiss all my babies before I go in there, because I may not be coming out. Frailty, sin, humanity, beset every high priest of the Old Testament, no matter who he was. But Christ is superior, because he is blameless. He is without sin. He's not tied to mortality because he lives forever, and he can, on our behalf, continually offer up to God an advocacy for us, because he has the expiation of our sins, as John says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The greatest priest, the greatest mediator of all time, because he is God's Son. But what else is Christ? Prophet, priest, and we've been studying this for the last several weeks, king. If you look at how John describes Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, turn with me to chapter 1. We can see the reverence with which John approached Christ. He understood who he was, not just another man. Revelation chapter 1. Beginning with verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. That ties in with the Hebrew writer's view of Jesus, doesn't it? Who is, who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. Listen to this now. And the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and everyone who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Who is Jesus Christ? Prophet, priest, and King of kings. The beauty of it is, he's also a descendant of the greatest king. Of what tribe was David? Tribe of Judah. Of what tribe was Jesus? The tribe of Judah. In fact, the Hebrew writer goes to great lengths to say that this means that Jesus had no right by earthly means and descendancy to be a priest, because he was not from that which God had called. He was not a Levite. And at first glance, you might think, but that's a whole other sermon. You'll get that next month. He is after the order of Melchizedek. What does that mean? In fact, all for the month of April, we're going to study the priesthood. Jesus Christ, prophet, priest, and king. But now let's look at Acts chapter 2. During the course of that study, we'll look at the Jewish priesthood as well as the order of Melchizedek. In Acts chapter 2, in the first gospel sermon that's ever preached, as Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, he says that Jesus descended from David and has ascended to the throne, meaning King of kings. Let's start with verse 25, Acts chapter 2. Talking about a prophecy of David's that could not apply to David himself. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. For he was at my right hand that I might not be shaken. And therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. And moreover my flesh will dwell in hope. For thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let thy Holy One see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Brethren, I may say to you with confidently of the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Now, what we just had David prophesying, that there was going to be someone, a king, whose flesh would not rot. And to put it bluntly, Peter says, that's not what happened to David's flesh. We know he died, we know he was buried, and since his tomb is still there, then his flesh rotted in that tomb. He did not say that of himself. Being therefore a prophet, verse 30, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he, meaning David, foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witness. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make thy enemies a stool for thy feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Great kings, David was one, but not the greatest. Prophets, priest, and King of kings. Of whom do I speak? The greatest leader of all time, Jesus Christ. Three roles in one, and fulfilling them in a way that no man could possibly do. Because why? He was not simply a servant. He was the Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Moses had power, but not like Jesus. Aaron had authority, but not like Jesus. David reigned, but not like Jesus. Prophet, high priest, and King of kings. The greatest of all, God's only Son, Jesus Christ. Will you heed Moses' prophecy? What was it? Hear ye him. Why? Because his rights are like no other. His credentials prove him to be God himself. In this afternoon's devotional, we're going to talk about God being invisible and how that there was a time when he fully revealed himself. Jesus Christ, Is he your Lord? Is he your Master? Is he your Savior? He can be if you'll but come as we stand and as we sing.